Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We return to 1 John chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. And that somewhat puzzling text that deals with the sin unto death. Remember, it has to do with prayer. It follows a prayer text in sequence and is linked to it because this is talking about prayer. But it says, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, or he will pray, and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. Well, that's the text, and it has no doubt puzzled you if you've ever read it and thought about it and tried to figure out exactly what is being said here. And that's why we are working our way through it on the Beacon broadcast, and we are returning to it on this Tuesday, March 5. We're glad that you were able to join us, and we are so very, very thankful for the radio listeners who make the continuation of this program possible on this station. Well, just to review a couple of things before we move on, and that is, number one, to remind you that this text tells us that there is an appropriate response for every Christian toward a brother, a fellow member of the body of Christ, presumably a fellow member of your local church, that you observe committing sin. Obviously, it can't be unseen sins of the heart, but outward manifestations of sin and acts of sin. And though there may be other things that you will do following the first thing is very clear, and that is to pray. Not to slander, not to gossip, not to confront initially, but to pray. First of all, make it a matter of prayer. We must not ignore the sin, but we must not deal with it in an improper way. But there is a very solemn warning about persistent sin, and this tells us that there are a couple of different types of sin. There are sins that are not leading to death, and there are sins that are leading to death. And the question is, what is this sin that leads to death? And that's what a lot of people are more curious about than anything else. What is it? Is this the same as the unpardonable sin spoken about in the Gospels? What is it? And I think the answer is, it's any sin persistently pursued. It is the practice of sin, not any one particular sin, but just the continual practice of sin. Deliberate, willful, persistent rejection of known truth that will not be, one will not stop, one will not repent of, when one will not cease to be involved in. The truth of the matter is, there are no unforgivable sins. Really, there are no sins that are so serious, so heinous, that they cannot be forgiven. But those sins that are persisted in spite of being convicted about them, in spite of knowing that they are wrong, in spite of having the means of grace granted to you to help you overcome them, but you will not avail yourself of those things and go on continually in this kind of sin, that manifests an unregenerate heart. And obviously, those who are unregenerate are heading to death, aren't they? And even though a person may be a member of the church and may profess to be a Christian and may be considered to be a fellow believer, a brother in Christ, and we take people according to their profession, we take their profession at faith value until at face value until they demonstrate otherwise, this is one of the things that will demonstrate otherwise. Continual, persistent, stubborn, unrepentant sin that goes on and on, that's going to lead to death. Now, another question, of course, is what is the death that is spoken of here? Is it physical death? Is it spiritual death? If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life. For those who commit sin not leading to death, there is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. Well, there are some who think this is talking about physical death, and there are reasons to draw that conclusion. We're all aware of the example of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, who lied publicly and lied against the Holy Spirit, lied to the Holy Spirit, I guess I should say, and lied to the whole church, lied to the apostles, lied to the church, and they were struck dead physically. Certainly physical death was the penalty for their sin. We also read of something similar, at least the concept, the category of physical death, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 30, Paul says, he's talking about the Lord's table, he who drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Sleep, of course, is the Christian word for death. Many sleep. Many have died because they have continued to partake of the Lord's table without confessing and forsaking their sins. And so the penalty is death, the death of physical death, the death of sleep, which is the Christian's death. And there is, of course, that text in James chapter 5, verse 19. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And that may be speaking about physical death. However, having said all of that and raised the possibility that John may be talking about physical death in our text in 1 John 5:16, I have come to the conclusion myself that he's actually talking about spiritual death. I think that fits the concept or the context, I guess I should say, better. Let me call your attention to a previous statement in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Now think that verse through. We know that we have passed from death to life. This is talking, of course, about regeneration. It's talking about spiritual life. It's talking about salvation. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. The one who does not love his brother, who does not love other believers, has not passed from death to life. He still lives in death. He abides in death. He has not been regenerated. He has not been given new life in Christ. Salvation, the life of salvation, the life that we call eternal life, is fellowship with Christ, whereas death is separation from Christ. And this text is talking about settled rejection of God's authority, of lawlessness. It's describing hearts that are unchanged by God's grace. It's talking about a pretender, not a genuine brother, though he's called a brother. But again, that's according to the external profession rather than the inward reality. And there are a number of times throughout this epistle that John has called his attention to or called our attention to people who profess to be believers but turn out not to be. This is an area of truth that I think is not emphasized as much as it ought to, because it is a very sobering, serious truth, and it is taught many times in the New Testament, namely, that there are people who profess to be saved who are not saved. And this is a sobering matter. What about the words of John earlier in chapter 2 and verse 19, when he said, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." Again, professing believers, people who at one time were part of the church, part of the local churches that John is writing to. And yet he says they departed from us. Why? Because they were not of us. They were not of the same nature. They were not of the same substance. They did not share the same life. They used to be part of us. They used to be members of the church. They professed to be Christians. We called them brother or sister, but their subsequent actions demonstrated that they were not actually of us at all. And that, I think, is what John is talking about here. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life. For those who commit sin not leading to death, there is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. And so the proper response when you see a fellow church member sinning is to pray for him. Pray that he may be convicted of his sin. Pray that he may repent of his sin. Pray that he may be restored to fellowship with Christ. But for those who are sinning a sin unto death, he says, I do not say that he should pray for that. Now, he doesn't say, I forbid you to pray. But he's saying, in that case, you're not required to pray. In that case, there is no prayer promise attached to your prayers. In the case of one who is genuinely saved and who is sinning a sin that is not leading to spiritual death, then if you pray for him, he will be recovered. He will be restored. It's a prayer promise. In context, that's exactly what he's talking about. Verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask. And he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. So this is a sober reminder that sin is a serious matter. All violations of God's will, God's revealed will, are sin. All violations of God's commandments are sin. All sin is a serious matter. Sin destroys life. Sin diminishes fellowship between believers and Christ. No sin is so trivial as to be ignored or neglected. All sin needs cleansing and forgiveness, but sin ignored leads to more sin and hardness of heart, and will lead the unregenerate to eternal damnation. There is a sin leading to spiritual death, and there's no recovery from that unless the person is born again by the Spirit of God. Well, until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.